Hare Krishna. Welcome, dear devotees, to today's Sunday's Chaitanya Charitamrita class. It is always my great honor and privilege to be able to speak in the assembly of such exalted Vaishnavs in such a holy dham. So today we will be completing the chapter 7 of the Madhya Leela. The chapter is entitled The Lord's Tour of South India. And then we'll be starting a new chapter, chapter number 8, the talks between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. And then we'll go to text number 3. So we'll be reading from text number 153. I admit that I do not know the beginning or the end of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. However, whatever I have written, I have heard from the mouths of great personalities. O devotees, please do not consider my offenses in this regard. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 7th chapter, describing the start of the Lord's tour of South India and the liberation of the Brahmana Vasudev. So this draws to conclusion this beautiful chapter, which is so full of instructions. It's a very important chapter for us. Especially devotees in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada explains that in this chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the formula by which the Krishna Consciousness movement can be spread. And the instructions given both to the Kurma Brahmana and the leper Vasudev are almost identical and very, very simple. Jare Deka Kaha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyana Guruhana Tara Edesh. Jare Deka. Whoever you meet, Tare Kaha, you must tell what? Krishna Upadesh. Tell them about the instructions of Krishna. Amara Agya Guru Han and become Guru. Tara Edesh. And liberate everyone in your district. So the two instructions, very simple instructions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, was firstly, we should chant Hare Krishna. And then whoever we meet, we should tell them about Krishna as given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the start of the Lord's tour of South India. So we come, and now we'll move on progressively to the Lord's other destinations, finally culminating in the Lord meeting Ramananda Rai next to the river Godavari, Vijayanagar, the place called Vijayanagar. So we'll continue chapter 8, the talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. And as Srila Prabhupada traditionally does at the beginning of every chapter, he provides a summary of the chapter. So we shall read the summary. The summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. After visiting the temple of Jayadha Nrsimha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the banks of the river Godavari to a place known as Vijayanagar. When Srila Ramananda Rai went there to take his bath, they met. After introducing himself, Sri Ramananda Rai requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to remain in the village for some days. Honoring his request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there in the home of some Vedic brahmanas. In the evening, Srila Ramananda Rai used to come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai, who was clothed in ordinary dress, offered the Lord respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him on the object and process of worship and also asked him to recite verses from the Vedic literature. First of all, Srila Ramananda Rai enunciated the system of the Van Ashrama institution. He recited various verses about karmapana, stating that everything should be dedicated to the Lord. He then spoke of detached action, knowledge mixed with devotional service, and finally the spontaneous loving service of the Lord. After hearing Srila Ramananda Rai recite some verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the principle of pure devotional service, devoid of all kinds of speculation. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to explain the higher platform of devotional service. Then Srila Ramananda Rai explained unalloyed devotional service, love of Godhead, and serving the Lord in the moods of pure servitude, fraternity, and parental love. Finally, he spoke of serving the Lord in conjugal love. He then spoke of how conjugal love can be developed in various ways. This conjugal love attains its highest perfection in Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. He then described the position of Srimati Radharani and the transcendental mellows of love of God. Srila Ramananda Rai then recited a verse of his own concerning the platform of ecstatic vision, technically called Prema Vilas Vivarta. Srila Ramananda Rai also explained that all stages of conjugal love can be attained through the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, especially by the mercy of the gopis. All these subject matters were thus vividly described. Gradually, Ramananda Rai could understand the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his real form, Ramananda Rai fell unconscious. After some days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to retire from government service and come to Jagannath Puri. These descriptions of the meetings between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are taken from the notebook of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So text number one, translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga, is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. He empowered Sri Ramananda Rai, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud was filled with water in all the conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean to spread this water over the sea of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Thus, the ocean of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with the jewels of the knowledge of pure devotional service. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now we come to the verse on the board, which is text number 3. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. According to his previous program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour and after some days arrived at the place of pilgrimage known as Jiyadha Narsimha. Purport. The Jiyadha Narsimha temple is situated on the top of a hill about 5 miles away from Vishakhapatnam. There is a railway station on the South Indian Railway known as Simhachala. The temple known as Simhachala is the best temple in the vicinity of Vishakhapatnam. This temple is very affluent and is a typical example of the architecture of the area. On one stone tablet, it is mentioned that formerly a queen covered the deity with gold plate. This is mentioned in the Vishakhapatnam Gazetteer. About the temple, there are residential quarters for the priests and devotees. Indeed, at the present moment, there are many residential quarters to accommodate visiting devotees. The original deity is situated within the depths of the temple. But there is another deity, a duplicate known as the Vijayamurti. This smaller deity can be moved from the temple and taken on public processions. Priests who generally belong to the Ramanuja Sampradaya are in charge of the deity worship. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this is a very, very important chapter. And we shall discuss why it is so significantly important. And then we shall speak a bit more about the verse, today's verse. So externally, before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for South India, he had met his associates had come to see him off. And one of the associates that had come to see Mahaprabhu depart was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he made a request to the Lord. And this is the external reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to meet Sri Ramananda Rai. So I'll just quickly read from chapter 7 the request that Ramananda Rai, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made to the Lord. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was departing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya submitted the following at his lotus feet. My Lord, I have one final request that I hope you will kindly fulfill. In the town of Vijayanagar, on the bank of the Godavari, there is a responsible government officer named Ramananda Rai. Please do not neglect him, thinking that he belongs to a Shudra family engaged in material activities. It is my request that you meet him without fail. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, Ramananda Rai is a fit person to associate with you. No other devotee can compare with him in knowledge of the transcendental mellows. He is a most learned scholar, as well as an expert in devotional mellows. Actually, he is most exalted. And if you talk with him, you will see how glorious he is. I could not realize when I first spoke with Ramananda Rai that his topics and endeavors were all transcendentally uncommon. I made fun of him simply because he was a Vaishnava. The Bhattacharya said, by your mercy, I can now understand the truth about Ramananda Rai. In talking with him, you will also acknowledge his greatness. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Mahaprabhu, as a mission, after leaving the leper Vasudev, he travels further. And this chapter is so significant because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accomplished one of his chief missions through Sri Ramananda Rai. And what was that mission? That mission was to propagate the highest form of devotional service in conjugal love. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada summarizes all of the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he does so in a few conversations. The conversation between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami, which is Sambandha Gyan. Then the conversation between with Rupa Goswami at Prayag. For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami. And that was explained to be the essence of rasa. And Srila Prabhupada states that this teaching that Srila Rupa Goswami received was captured in the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there's further conversations between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Sarasvati. And finally, at the end of this book, Srila Prabhupada captures this very amazing conversation between Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the essence. In his book, Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the essence of the concept of liberation to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He explained the essence of rasa tattva to Rupa Goswami. And he explained the essence of the sweetest conjugal love to Sri Ramananda Rai. And this is what's captured in this chapter. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami beautifully captures this exchange in the very first verse. And he gives a beautiful metaphor. And he gives the metaphor of the cloud and the ocean. The cloud gets his water and becomes full by drawing through evaporation the water from the ocean. And then the cloud becomes full and then the cloud pours down rain onto the ocean. So in the same way, Srila Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered within Srila Ramananda Rai the essence of the teachings of conjugal love. And then Srila Ramananda Rai received that and then he poured that down onto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this conversation is slightly unusual in terms of the other conversations like Srila Rupa Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sanatan Goswami, and Prakashananda Sarasvati. In those conversations, the Lord is taking the role of teacher. And the Lord is explaining. But in this conversation, the Lord puts Srila Ramananda Rai in the position of teacher. And he asks the questions, the Lord is asking the questions. So this metaphor is very beautiful, and the discussions of this chapter will be very relishable. I won't go into any of the aspects of that conversation in today's session. I will focus on today's verse. And it's very interesting. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then proceeded to this temple called Simachal. And there is some very interesting and relishable aspects about this deity, which I shall... my memory is not good. So I shall read and speak at the same time about some of the history. So this temple, Sima means lion, we all know, and Chalam means hill. So this is called Lion's Hill, the hill of Lord Narsimha. And why is it called that? There's a reason which we shall discuss. And who is the deity in this temple? Yes, but a very special form of Lord Narsimha. It's Sri Varaha Narsimha. It's called Sri Varaha Lakshmi Narsimha Swami. That's how he's known in that region. He's also sometimes called Sima Drinath. Or in the local Telugu language, that area is the Telugu area. He is known as Simhadri Appana, the Lord of the Lion Hill. So in this temple, there is a Shastra. It's called the Stala Purana. And there it recounts the history of how Lord Varaha Narsimha appeared. So the history goes, after many unsuccessful attempts at killing Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was very angry. So he came up with another plan to kill Prahlad. And what was that plan? He called all of his associates together. He said, "Now I want you to throw this 5-year-old Prahlad in the ocean. And after you've thrown him there, to make sure he can't escape, put a mountain on top of him. Put a mountain on top of the Lord." So the servants of Hiranyakashipu did that. So Vishakhapatnam is a city that's quite close to the ocean in South India. So they went to Vishakhapatnam, and from there they threw Prahlad into the ocean. And what they did, they covered him with this big hill. And then what did Prahlad do? Is what Prahlad typically does. No fear, any chance, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then when he chants his mantra, who appears? Lord Narsimhadev. He lifts his mountain and he frees Prahlad. Frees Prahlad. So, after the Lord had appeared as Lord Narsimhadev, we know the pastimes, he came out of a pillar and he killed Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad, after that incident had taken place, Prahlad had come to this very place called Simhachalam. And there, he remembered how the Lord had protected him. And he prayed to Lord Narsimhadev, "I want to worship you. And I want to have the darshan of you in that form." But he said, "I want two forms. First, that form, how you killed my uncle, Hiranyaksha. And then the second form I want to see is this form as lion." So Prahlad prayed, "I want to see you in these two forms." And therefore this deity appeared as Varaha Narsimha. the head of Lord Varaha and the body of Lord Narsingadev. And this is a self-manifested deity. Self-manifested deity. So Prahlad worshipped the Lord with great devotion and built a small temple there on the hill. And then Prahlad, at some point in time, he handed over the worship of this deity to his son. And his son personally worshipped this deity. But at the end of the Satya Yuga, owing to some neglect, the worship of the deity stopped. And then an anthill formed. And the Lord was covered by an anthill. And then at the beginning of the next yuga, the deity was discovered by a king, Pururarva, who was a very famous king of the Lunar dynasty. And actually, this king is mentioned in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this king, although he was born in such a great dynasty, he became materialistic. And one day he was traveling with Urvashi, the damsels of the heavenly planet. And the Lord, seeing this, became disgusted. The Lord became disgusted. You know, a king coming in the Lunar dynasty, behaving like this with Urvashi. So the Lord appeared as a boar. And when he appeared as the boar, he went and interrupted this king's escapades with the damsels. And the king became very angry and chased this boar, trying to kill him. And he wanted to find him, but he couldn't. And the king was searching everywhere and couldn't find him. Then the Lord again appeared in a dream. And he revealed exactly where he was. And he told King Pururava that I am in the deity Varaha Narsingha in a certain place. And I want you to worship me. So the king, he got 1,000 vessels of water from a place called Gangatal. And there he saw Lord Narsingadev, and he worshipped him and he rendered service to him. And he performed a grand Abhishek ceremony, he said. But then the Lord was not happy. He said, I don't like your form of worship. I think the ants were worshipping me better. And he became very angry. And he said when he became very angry, he became red hot like fire. Red hot like fire. And then he told the king, you know, you made me angry. I've become hot. Now you need to cool me down. And I want you to cover my body with chandan. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. I want you to cover my body with chandan. And in this way, the king brought lots of chandan and he covered the Lord's body. And in fact, up to this very day, this is how the Lord is worshipped. The Lord's body is covered with 480 kilograms of chandan, almost half a ton. And it is said that the Lord, he remains like this all the time. And only once a year, on the occasion of Akshaya Tritiya, he has the chandan removed, and then you can get his darshan. And it is said for the very next day after Akshaya Tritiya, the Lord is covered with 120 kilograms of chandan. Then on Vaishakha Purnima, another 120 kilograms. And then on Jaishta Purnima with another 120 kilograms. And then on Ashad Purnima with another 120 kilograms of chandan. So the Lord stays like this, covered with 480 kilograms of chandan for most of the year. And how do they worship the Lord? They worshiping through a Nrisinga Shila. Nrisinga Shila. And the original deity, as Prabhupada describes this, this original deity of Sri Varaha Nrisinga is in the very deep within the temple. Very deep within the temple. And only once a year, he comes out and he's worshipful for 12 hours. Some devotees have captured some photograph of Varaha Nrisinga. And you can go on the net and you can see this amazing, amazing picture of the deity. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he arrived in this place, Simachal, in 1510 AD. On his tour of South India. And then you'll see in the subsequent verses, this is very beautiful description. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, what activities he performed. So I won't go over that. The following speaker shall speak about that. But interestingly, also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur visited this temple twice, in 1905 and in 1930. And when Lord Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati visited this temple, he did something very special. He installed the footprints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the entrance to the temple. So when we go to the temple, we will see the footprints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then interestingly, Srila Prabhupada also visited this place. In 1972, between 17th and 22nd February. So I was trying to research. Srila Prabhupada completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in November 1974. And Srila Prabhupada completed his entire translation in a matter of 18 months, which was completely amazing. This entire Chaitanya Charitamrita was completed within 18 months. So if you work backwards, Srila Prabhupada completed it on Rama Ekadasi in Bombay, November 1974. If you work backwards, we will see that Srila Prabhupada visited this temple probably before he wrote this purport. So I want to read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, about Srila Prabhupada's visiting of this temple. It's a beautiful experience. So the pastime is, Srila Prabhupada got invited to go to Madras. He got invited by an Indian gentleman. He went to Madras. He preached there. And it is explained in the Lilamrita that Srila Prabhupada's main opponents was not the Mayavadis, was not the smarter Brahmins, but was who? His own God brothers. His own God brothers who, for some reason or the other, criticized unnecessarily Srila Prabhupada's preaching. But there was one God brother who was not like that. He was Puri Maharaj. And Puri Maharaj, he had a small temple in Vishakhapatnam. And he invited Srila Prabhupada. He wrote a beautiful letter to Srila Prabhupada. And he invited Srila Prabhupada to come and visit him. And Srila Prabhupada accepted. Srila Prabhupada accepted. And this is how he went to Vishakhapatnam. And we all know, there was one very, very special pastime that took place in Vishakhapatnam. Who can remember what special pastime took place there? In Puri Maharaj's ashram, which Srila Bhakti Charuswami writes about in his Vaishnava Etiquette course. He writes about Srila Prabhupada's elderly godbrother, Anand Brahmachari. How when Srila Prabhupada went to this temple, Prabhupada said this was the personification of Vaishnava etiquette. Where Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Anand Brahmachari, he hosted Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. And in Lilamrita, it's explained how he personally cooked for them, how he fed them, and how he treated the Vaishnava. And Prabhupada said, this we should see as an example of who and what is Vaishnava. That is explained in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. So I'll now read a bit of Srila Prabhupada going to this temple. So one day, and this temple is about 5 miles north of Vishakhapatnam. So one day Srila Prabhupada took his disciples to see a famous temple of Lord Narasimha, Sri Simhachal, on top of a hill about 5 miles north of Vishakhapatnam. Thousands of stone steps led up the hill to the temple, which was situated in a natural amphitheater on the side of the hill. Prabhupada said the temple, which was now run by followers of the Ramanuja sect, was particularly important because Lord Chaitanya had visited there on his tour of South India. Srila Prabhupada chose to approach the temple by car, riding up the winding road past orchards of mango, jackfruit, and cashew, and fields of pineapple. On arriving at the temple, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples met one of the temple brahmanas who showed them around the grounds. The temple buildings were of black granite and carved into the rock were the forms and pastimes of Vishnu, especially in his incarnation of Lord Narasimha. As Prabhupada moved from place to place, building to building, he sometimes rode up steep stairs on a palanquin carried by 4 men. When Prabhupada came upon an immense banyan tree at the lower end of the temple grounds, he said that this tree must be thousands of years old. As he stood beneath the tree, his servant Nandakumar handed him a small champak flower. Extending his thumb and forefinger from his bead bag, Prabhupada held the champak flower and looked fondly at it. This flower, he said, is the color of Lord Chaitanya. And this flower is the most loved all over India. This flower is beautiful to look at and beautiful to smell. He carried the small saffron gold flower between his fingers throughout the rest of the morning. When Prabhupada and his group entered the inner sanctum where the deity of Lord Narasimha resided, their guide explained that the murti dated back to the time of Prahlad Maharaj. The ancient king named Pururarva and his consort Urvasi had once visited this hill, and at the request of Urvasi, the murti who appeared to her in the dream had been excavated. The Lord had ordained that he should be worshipped in this place, but that he would give darshan only one day in a year, during the month of Vaishakha. The rest of the year he would be entirely covered with ground, sandalwood pulp mixed with camphor and other scents. Therefore the deity now appeared to be only a lump covered with a layer of sandalwood. Prabhupada commented that the sandalwood was to keep the deity cool-headed. So this is what Srila Prabhupada saw. Madhavananda, one of Prabhupada's disciples, speaks. When Prabhupada was at the Narasimha temple in Vishakhapatnam, it was the same as when he was in Vrindavan. When he got out of the car, he was very grave. When he went into the temple and there was a chamber, then he went down. The walls were 4 feet thick and it seemed like hundreds of feet of tunnels before we got to the inner sanctum. There was a deity with just a mound of sandalwood paste on him. As soon as we entered, Prabhupada said, begin chanting the Narasimha mantra. So we started singing, Tavakara Kamalavarena Kamadbhuta Shringam. And we circumambulated the deity. Then we stood before the deity and Prabhupada offered obeisances. Guru Kripa. When we came into the deity room, Prabhupada had us sing the Narasimha prayers. He always manifested such devotion That was what separated him from us. Not only his learning or his knowledge, but his devotion. In these places, we would see him become very silent, very grave. And when he would speak, such peace would fill from within. When he would speak, you could feel it. He was constantly convincing us of Krishna consciousness. Not purposefully, but he was just being himself. In these places, it would come out. When Prabhupada stood with us before the deity, we couldn't even see. There was just a mound of sandalwood. There was one brahmana with his big earlobes, and he had a ring in his ear. We offered some money, but it was a very devotional time. Prabhupada didn't say much, and the main reason was that these places are appreciated according to one's spiritual advancement. The detail and facts and the history are not really that important. There is nothing really to say. Prabhupada would just make sure we had the proper respect and didn't commit any offense. Srila Prabhupada ki. I just want to conclude with one verse. Just this is in the context of Srila Prabhupada. In our Vedic scriptures, in the Subhashita Ratna, there is one verse, Deva Tirte Dvije Mantre Devagna Besaje Goro Yad Rishi Bhavana Yasya Siddhir Bhavati Tad Rishi. And the translation of this verse is, in relation to a deity, a holy place, a Brahman, a mantra, an astrologer, a physician, or a guru, one obtains reciprocation according to the degree and type of one's faith. The same is repeated in the Brahma Samhita, which is in 561, where it said, yad rishi, shraddha siddhir, bhavati tad rishi. And there Lord Brahma says, one obtains reciprocation according to the degree of one's faith. This is also repeated by Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan in a book called Prameya Ratravali, where he says, Raj Rishi Bhavana Yasya Siddhir Bhavati Tad Rishi. That one obtains reciprocation according to one's faith. And this applies to a holy place, a brahmana, a mantra, an astrologer, a physician, or the guru. One Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was asked, who is the best of all of your disciples? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur replied, the one with the most affection is the best of the disciples. So I'll conclude. It's 8:30. I was told by Sankirtan Priya we should stop at 8:30 today. So I'll conclude. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions or comments by anyone, please feel free to ask or share. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. So Srinivas Prabhu is saying that he's got some quotations from Shivaram Swami about four types of faith.
Four types of faith. We are all no doubt aware that some people adhere to a type of faith by which they kill in the name of God. They destroy others' property and take lives, and even ultimately commit suicide, justifying it all with their religious beliefs. It's not a religious bigotry or intolerance to observe or state these things. It's simply a fact that this type of faith in God exists. And the Bhagavad Gita explains that there are actually four types of faith. The purest form of faith is of first type, spiritual faith. Spiritual faith means we have faith in God because we want to please Him. And that desire becomes the motivating force of our worship. The second is faith of goodness, that we desire to be pious or to be recognized as a good person, that we are to ourselves and others considered godly and respectable. The third faith is passion, that we worship God because He is going to provide something for us, like a cure for disease, or a bigger car, a better house, or that our children will pass the exams. There is something of a mercantile arrangement, that we worship God or act piously with the surety of return. The fourth faith is ignorance. That is faith without knowledge, without any understanding of the universal purpose of all religions or the real meaning of Scripture. Whatever language or form those take, we are unfortunately all too familiar with ignorant faith, which is envious, destructive, and but ignorance can be arrogant as radical as knowledge. Religion is not about externals, however how we all look or different, or that our language or different, or that our tradition or differ. Faith is about what lies within.
Thank you. I'm not sure if you all heard. Yes, Prabhu was mentioning a reading from Shivaram Swami. There's four types of faith. From what I gathered, there's the faith on the level of Sudasattva. And then there's three types of faith, one in the mode of goodness, one in the mode of passion, and one in the mode of ignorance. But it's the faith that determines, you know, one's love. Yes, Prabhu?
There's something in the class you said, which is slowly disturbing my mind. You said that Srila Prabhupada, his biggest adversaries were his godbrothers. So, a little bit, I don't know where this impression you had at the full lectures. I remember Prabhupada's books. The biggest battle we had was against his godbrothers. And also you said only one of his godbrothers was not against him. So that's also, I would just like to know, how do you think that, and where do you get it?
I didn't, that's not my words. Maybe I can read it to you from the Prabhupada Lilamrita itself. This is from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. That's chapter number 39. Srila Prabhupada's most acute controversy in Madras was not from the smarter brahmanas, the Mayavadis or the Shaivites, but with some of his own godbrothers. Although some of them acknowledged Srila Prabhupada's incomparable preaching in the West on behalf of their spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, others were envious. One envious godbrother wrote to Srila Prabhupada in Madras, "Revered Swami, I listened to your discourse on bhakti at Rashishwari Kalyana Mandapam on the 12th instance. I am filled with doubts of the following. Your disciples dance with Hare Krishna mantra. Are they really God intoxicators of Lord Chaitanya? 1. 2. Have you, Swamiji, really got free of your ego? If so, why did you say I challenge? And why are you using words like I and mine always on your lips? 3. Why do you use a cushion unlike a real yogi? Did Lord Chaitanya use cushions? 5. Why do you wear a ring and a gold watch? Are you not free from material attachment? 6. Did you visit Lord Chaitanya's Krishna temple at Gaudiya Math? If not, why not? The purest Vaishnava cult is indwelling there with pious Swamijis, with Lord Krishna dwelling therein. Melodious sound from your throat is absent, but is jarring. Undivine comes out. Is there any divinity in your person? I doubt. One disgusted on hearing your speech." So there you have your answer, Prabhu. His own godbrother said that. Not the Smartas, not the Mayavadis, not the Shaivats, but his own godbrothers. Well, at least that was one mentioned here, the direct letter, but there were many others also. Yeah, and Prabhupada says here that Puri Maharaj, his godbrother, was different. Personally invited him, and his godbrother, Anand Brahmachari, displayed the highest symptoms of Vaishnava etiquette. So this was taking place during Prabhupada's time. Yeah.
I got the impression that you said it was only one who was not there. But all of
them. No, it's not all of them, obviously. It's not all of them, yeah. Yeah. There were some of them, but there were quite a few of them. Yeah. And Prabhupada felt that. Srila Prabhupada felt it. It hurt him. Yeah. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Paramakarana Prabhu, you got a comment? Oh, Mataji, someone had their hand up? Okay. All right. If there's no mother. Oh, Govinda Prabhu, you got something to say? Yeah. Pass it to Govinda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just a short comment. Of course, both aspects are there. Prabhupada was very protective of his disciples.
Sure.
Didn't like any kind of contamination. And at the same time, at the end of his life, he said, you know, let's forget all that. It doesn't run deep.
No.
Now, there's an interesting, Prabhupada makes this interesting point. He says, Vaishnavas, they disagree on points of philosophy. He said they can fight like lawyers, but then outside of court, they're friends. So the two things are going on. There's a fighting going on, but they're still like... One, I think Prabhupada once said they all went back to Godhead because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati accepted their service. So
yes.
Both things are there, you know. So
That's a good point you make. Even as Govinda Prabhu said at the end, Srila Prabhupada called his godbrother and said, forgive me for the offenses I made. And Prabhupada was also on record as saying that everyone was preaching according to their own means. And Prabhupada didn't take that very seriously at the end. He said this was all part, and it was all forgiven and lost. But there was some history there, but ultimately Srila Prabhupada didn't take it that seriously. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the very enlightening, very beautiful class. I really enjoyed the points about the service to the lordships in the form of the murtis. What should be our meditation? Like, we see how Prabhupada established ISKCON worship, how we should approach it in the form of Lakshmi, Vishnu Lakshmi. So watch Narayan Lakshmi. What should be our meditation when we, let's say, travel in India and we see different approaches in terms of worshipping the lordships or the deities? And how should we also approach deities which are, as said, from different yugas? And sometimes the physical features of these deities are not always recognizable. We can see Radha Gokulananda, they have very beautiful features. We can very much see that beauty. And when we travel through India, how can we relate to this different type of beauty of these ancient vigrahas? If you can share something.
Okay, the question, you all understood Antaranga Prabhu's question, you heard it? Okay. So essentially, I think that's why the reason I quoted this verse, that one sees the deity and one reciprocates the deity according to one's faith. And as you rightfully pointed out, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, during the stage of sadhana bhakti, we should see the deity in a mood of awe and reverence and opulence as Lakshmi Narayan. And so that Srila Prabhupada has given up to us. And then obviously as we advance and spontaneously according to our rasa, we'll be able to identify with the deity in a certain way. But in connection with your question about when we go to India, we see deities and some of the features may not be so prominent, you know, and it may be sometimes difficult for us to relate. I think personally, when we have some struggle to relate to the deity in that situation, it's like how we always pray, you know, my eyes are not anointed with the salve of love. For now, I appreciate you, I appreciate your pastimes, I appreciate who you are, and I pray for your mercy that one day I may see your real feature, you know. So that's generally the mood of the devotees' prayer. Would anyone like to add, Govinda Prabhu or anyone else? Kartik Chandra Prabhu? Okay. All right. There's no more questions and comments. We shall conclude here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Go Premanande Haribol.